Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Huang.
Big day in China. Today is the fourth and final day of the plenum, Chinese leadership meeting to work out the policy blueprints for the next 5 years and 15 years as well.
That is quite some planning, 15 years.
Long-term planning. So broad outlines expected later today after the meeting ends, but the full plan won't be released until March. So what industries and reforms will be in focus and what will be important for foreign investors to watch? Let's get a bigger picture from Tommy Xie. He is the economist and head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank. Morning, Tommy.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, morning. So, Tommy, looking at what we have, we've got this new phrase popping up this year. It's a concept called dual circulation.
Right.
And this is broadly split into internal and external in the sense that it's trying to grow its domestic market. So when you look at the next five-year plan, what's going to be new about it? Because it's not entirely new that China has been trying to grow its domestic demand.
Exactly. So I think basically this dual circulation strategy is more like the upgrade version of about boosting the domestic demand. So in my opinion, this is more like the demand side of the story, how you can boost the demand. But if we look at this strategy in details, in fact, to me, this is more like a bottom line thinking approach. Because previously we got the domestic demand, we got the external demand. So in the past, the external demand was always one of the key drivers to the growth of the Chinese economy. But right now, because we are in the middle of U.S.-China tension, and we are talking about the decoupling risk, we are talking about the deglobalization. So in the worst case scenario, if there's no more external demand, can China still survive? Can China still have a sustainable growth? That's how this strategy come out. So external demand is still important, but can we still build up the domestic demand to make sure in the absence of the external demand, can we still achieve some things? I think that's the background of this dual circulation strategy for the moment. But in my opinion, so I would like to pay more attention to the supply side of the story rather than the demand side of the story. I think there's more story to tell from the supply side at the moment.
Yeah, so this sense that is trying to respond to the U.S.-China tensions as well as the disruptions around the supply chain from COVID-19.
Right. Exactly. That's why I think, to me, if China really wants to achieve this dual circulation strategy, I think without the supply side reform, it's a bit difficult for you to stray away to the demand side reform. That's why, as I mentioned, I think for myself, I pay more attention to the supply side. In fact, in the beginning of this year, China actually came out something very interesting. They call the total factor production reform. So that's to me is one of the very important reforms. So that is going to cover five to six, the factors, which is more from the supply side to drive the economy in the longer run, such as the labor reform, the land reform, like the capital reform, entrepreneurship reform, data reform. Those are all the reform which will be focused in the next 5 to 15 years.
Yeah, Tommy, talking about supply side, what exactly does China need in terms of getting more supply chain security, and how much will the the results of the U.S. elections affect China's plans?
Okay, sure. I think basically, if you look at the China's plan, I mean, to me, because right now China is facing two challenges. I mean, both domestically and globally. I mean, globally we have the tension, but domestically we also face the problem, which is that China is moving towards an aging society. Right. So by end of 2025, we're going to have about 300 million elderly population, which aged above 60. So China is losing the population dividend to some extent. So that's why I think the supply side reform is important. So for example, one of the issues a lot of people will focus on is the urbanization, right?
Yep.
We know China has been pushing up the urbanization quite aggressively for the past 10 to 15 years. So right now the urbanization rate may be close to about 60%. However, there's two sets of the urbanization rate. So the other set of the urbanization rate tells you the different story, which is the urbanization rate with the hukou, which is the registration, right? So a lot of people, they live in the city, but they don't have the registration, so they can't really enjoy the same, rights as those people who are from the city area. So how can you boost this urbanization with the hukou, right? So right now, I think we're talking about maybe 44-45%. So are we going to boost to like a 50%? So if we are able to boost to the 50%, so you will have, more rights for those people. I think it's one of the ways you can boost the demand for those people who live in the tier 2 tier three cities. So, and also maybe technology will be also a very important story, because we are facing the challenges both domestically and externally. So technology innovation will be very important. So that's why there will be a lot of focus on the R&D, right? So how much you want to spend on the research and the development. So I think, yeah, those are the numbers I think people will pay attention to. Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about that local registration. So that will have an impact on the labor mobility in terms of how they can move around, even property prices, because they can now rent closer to cities or wherever they want to go. So looking at what that can mean for foreign investors, Tommy, what are some of the themes you think we can look out for? Is climate change going to be something to be mindful for in terms of what is going to grow in China?
Yes. From that perspective, maybe I can offer maybe 2 to 3 talking points. I mean, the first point is, I think it's very, it's almost certain that China will continue to open its domestic financial market to the foreign investors, right? Mm. So despite the concern about the economic decoupling, in fact, in the past few months, if you look at it globally, in fact, we are seeing increasing financial connection between China and the rest of the world. So we are seeing more and more capital inflows into China's financial market, whether in terms of the bond or in terms of the equity. So one of the strategies right now China is pursuing is try to engage with the foreign investors via the financial linkage, even though the economic linkage or technology linkage has been, derailed to some extent, but financial linkage is important. That's why I think China will continue to open. So that provides a lot of opportunity for foreign investors, because China is still offering very attractive yield differential, right? The interest rate in China is still much higher, and the currency is less volatile as compared to most of the emerging markets, right? And also China still offers the growth potential. So that's the story which, China currently is offering right now, same as the renminbi internationalization. So I think that's the next other strategy China will pursue to internationalize the renminbi. So I think if we put those things together, I mean, definitely, there's a lot of opportunity for foreign investors. So talking about the climate change, I think one of the key ambition right now China is they try to achieve what we call the carbon neutrality by 2060, right? So I think same as South Korea and Japan, which they want to achieve by 2050. So I think this to me is also a big story, right? So how China, because China is one of the largest polluters right now in the world, so if they are able to achieve the carbon neutrality really by 2060, that's a very good story for the global climate kind of thing. But they'll come with a lot of implications as well. For example, what's the impact on the supply chain, right? Because when you want to achieve the carbon neutrality, it's not only your company, it's basically your entire supply chain, right? So now in China, we talk about supply chain shift, but in the future, when we talk about supply chain shift, do we need to also take environmental issue into account? Mm. So can China build up the advantage of this green supply chain? So I think there's a lot of things that we can think about that. But I think, yeah, that's basically the very broad framework right now we are thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And Tommy, just to wrap things up, right? Talking about timing and financial reform, we've got an Ant Group IPO coming up. And actually, ahead of this plenum, you had Alibaba founder Jack Ma describing in a speech China's banking system as akin to being a pawn shop business model. Yeah. What's he trying to get at? And do you agree with him?
Overall, I think he has very interesting points. But of course, I think for myself, I have a slightly different opinion. I mean, to me, I think, there's usually, I can understand his point, because basically, I think he think, for the next, 20 to 30 years, we have a lot of huge demand for the financial development, because the current banking model is more like based on the collateral, right? So I think we talk about the credit system, it's more like a collateral based. But I think for the end financials, they are more like the so-called the big data driven. So I think his point is basically the big data driven kind of the credit system could be, more superior to this collateral-based credit system, to support the financial needs over the next 20, 30 years. So, it's difficult for me to comment at the current stage, but I think, to some extent, it will be interesting, supplement. But of course, his comment regarding the Basel, I think, definitely drew a lot of debate, in the market. But to some extent, I think those kind of the risk management to me is still important, right? That's because it's built on a lot bad experience in the past, you know, decades. So that's how we can, come to hear, right, about this kind of a risk management. That's why risk management is still important for now, yeah.
Yeah, in the meantime, Tommy, we'll wait for the details of the five-year plan from China. We've been chatting with Tommy Xie. He's the economist and head of Greater China Research at OCBC Bank. Tommy, thank you so much for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.